Amen. Good morning. Good to see you also. Pastor Jimenez told me that he wanted me to give a message to a group of teenagers, and my first thought was, teenagers? What in the world? What am I going to say to a bunch of teenagers? Are they even going to listen? But, you know, that's not actually what I thought. But, you know, isn't that kind of the reputation that teenagers get? Teenagers kind of get this reputation. I can still remember, you know, many, many decades ago when I was a teenager and people kind of, you know, were kind of hard on teenagers. You know, teenagers are foolish. You're just a teenager, they say. Teenagers are expected to do things incorrectly. They're expected to not think things through. It's almost like they're, you know, you're a subclass, some people teach, you know, or kind of come down on teenagers like that. But let's look at what the Bible says this morning. You're going to keep your place in Deuteronomy chapter 32. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, just do me a favor this morning. Look at the very first words of Deuteronomy chapter 32 where it says, give ear and listen. So I want you to listen to me this morning. Let's look at what the Bible says about teenagers. You know, teenagers, the Bible's actually different from what, you know, people kind of look at teenagers about. The Bible is actually pretty, says teenagers are pretty important. All right, so let's look at the Bible this morning. You're going to keep your place in Deuteronomy chapter 32. So if we go to other places, you're going to bookmark that because we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. In Numbers chapter 1, you turn to Exodus chapter 30. Numbers chapter 1 says this. See, there's something interesting in the Bible about ages. There's a certain age in the Bible that just is pointed out over and over again, and that's the age of 20. The age of 20. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 3, you're going to Exodus 30, verse number 14. Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 30, the Bible says, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So here the Bible is pointing out that at the age of 20, you're responsible to go and fight for your nation. You're going to be numbered amongst the people that would be able to, you know, go and fight, amongst the men that would be able to go and fight. Anybody under 20, you know, wouldn't be counted in that army. Look at Exodus chapter 30, verse number 14. We just see this number 20 come up over and over and over again in the Bible. Exodus chapter 30, I'll just give you a few examples. Verse 14 says this. It says, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Meaning, once you're 20 years old, now you're spiritually responsible to bring that offering yourself, not your parents, but you had to bring that offering yourself. At what age? At the age of 20. In Numbers chapter 32, I'll read you another one. Verse number 11 says this. Surely none of the men that come up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they had not wholly followed me. Meaning, God was literally holding the nation responsible for the disobedience of everyone 20 years old and upward. So you're like, yes, I'm not 20. I'm not responsible. I don't have to be responsible. But what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is at 20 years old, the Bible is pretty much defining here that childhood is over. That now you are responsible, you know, for the life that's in front of you. God's going to hold you responsible, you know, the nation responsible for your sins. You know, you're responsible to have your own spiritual life, to go and give your own offerings. That is that marker that God puts in the Bible that at 20 is when all that begins. Meaning what? Meaning these teen years are the last years before that wall comes. I would say those are pretty important years if you look at it that way. The last years, it's a critical crossroads when you think about what the Bible is saying here about 20 years old and upwards. So these teen years, these last years that you have running up to the age of 20, there's all these on-ramps that are in front of you. And it's a critical crossroads. Now you think about it. Think about it. Think about just people that you know, situations that you've seen. You're like, well, I'm only a teenager. But even the adults here, think about this. Anybody that went off the rails in their life, most times you can trace that back to what? To those teenage years. It's a critical crossroads even in your life. Many times, the habits that are formed as an adult, when did they start? It started in the teenage years. Many times those sins that trouble people throughout their life, those direct sins started in the teenage years. This is a very critical time. So this is not something that, oh, just a teenager, you know, just throwing off that, you know, you're expected to be foolish. No, this is a critical time in your life because it's the last time before this age where the teenage years end and that adulthood begins. Look, these years, I mean, think about this. The decisions that you make, the things that you do, the things that are important to you, they're all defined in those teenage years. That's when it all begins with people. So, you know, hey, you know, no pressure. No pressure this morning. So I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you this morning, just listen to what I'm saying. You're going to hear me say that word again and again this morning. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the Word of God this morning. Listen to the Word of God over the next couple of days. In Colossians chapter 2, go ahead and turn there. This is why. Because this is such a critical time in your life, these teenage years, because it is so critical, this is why the world will lie to you especially. You're actually especially important to the messaging that this world is giving. Many of it is geared towards you, teenagers, right here. You say, why? Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, beware. This is a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. When I think of philosophy, I think of, you know, I think of a university system. Who's that geared towards? It's geared towards the teenagers. I think of the philosophies, you know, I think of the godlessness. I think of the secular humanism. I think of the fake science. I really hate fake science. It's all geared towards teenagers under the guise of education. I think of all the, any twisted perversion that you can think of today is geared towards you, teenagers. It's all marketed specifically through all sorts of media to you, teenagers. Media influence in general, geared towards teenagers. Pop culture, geared towards teenagers. Major industries. I just read, I've been hearing this for decades, by the way, but there was just an example I just looked up in preparation for this sermon. An e-cigarette company is sued for $440 million. They just lost the lawsuit because they were marketing to teenagers. This is not a surprise. It's been happening for decades and decades and decades. Alcohol companies, drugs, all this marketed to who? Teenagers. Why? There's all these on-ramps that are being put in front of you as teenagers. I mean, they're all fighting for your attention. They're saying, come this way. Come onto this on-ramp. Come our way. Trying to lead you down these roads. You say, why? Because they want customers for life. That's why. That's why. Because at that 20, see, it doesn't just happen at 20. All those on-ramps were entered in those teen years. Look, these people are smart. They know this. You say, who's smart? But look, these on-ramps are they're meat grinders that will chew you up and spit you out, is what they are. So the point I'm trying to say is that these ramps that you choose in these extremely significant years of your life, many times they'll define your entire life, is what you will see. Notice how Colossians chapter 2 says these two words. It says, spoil you. Notice how it doesn't say, like, you know, it doesn't say it's going to set you back a little bit. It's saying, no, these things can spoil you, meaning they can ruin you. I know people that decisions they made in their teenage years have literally spoiled them for their entire lives until they die off this earth. Habits, sins, consequences, it all starts, it's all spawned in these teenage years. Look, even Christians, maybe they got saved later in life, or maybe Christians that were saved and made wrong decisions, when they were teenagers, even Christians, these things haunt them their entire lives. Because of what? Things in the teenage years, these on-ramps, these things that were put in front of them in their teenage years. You say, but I'm saved, Pastor Jared. I'm saved. But you know, in Colossians chapter 4, you say, why is this? What's the source of all this? In Colossians chapter 4, Satan is called the god of this world. That's what he's called. You know what he's trying to do, saved teenager? It's he's trying to stop you. He can't take away your salvation. He can't make you unsaved. He's trying to stop you from being that difference in this world. He's trying to stop you from being that prophet for people. He's trying to stop you from being that Christian who could literally change thousands of lives, is what he's trying to do. You're like, man, Pastor, this all sounds really bad. What chance do I have? It's quite a flood, especially today. You can't turn on anything or look anywhere without seeing what I'm talking about today. And it's all geared towards you. You say, what chance do I have with all of these attacks coming in my direction? Well, you're here. It took me 38 years to find this place, and you're here now. That's a pretty big, I'd say you're doing pretty good. I'd say you're doing pretty good at this point, but here's a challenge for you today and tomorrow at this conference, and then hopefully you carry this challenge forward in your life. I know there's going to be dodgeball and jousting and wrestling. I was telling the kids last night, like, I don't know what you're going to see tomorrow. I wrestled for many, many years, and many times it felt like a life and death struggle. I'm not sure that's what you're going to see tonight. But anyway, you're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement and things this evening. But what I challenge you to do, just as Deuteronomy chapter 32 said at the beginning of the chapter, listen. Listen. Listen to the word of God today. Listen to the word of God tomorrow, and listen to the word of God in your lives, teenager, because you are not just a teenager. Let God speak to you. Listen, pray. Do you have a prayer life as a teenager? You're about to be 20 in a couple years. Pray. You know, look, some prayers you just know will be answered. Pray for God to show you the direction that you should go in your life. And you know that prayer will be answered. That's, you know, some prayers you just know. Ask God to help you define your life. Ask God to help you shut off all the garbage that's marketed and geared towards you. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Listen today. Listen this week. Listen to Pastor Anderson tonight. See, another thing that you're told as teenagers in this world is that you're being taught all this victimology today. You're being taught that, you know, I am this way because this person did this. I am, you know, I am the product of my environment. That is not the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Your life, this is the last words that Moses says to his people before he dies. Now, whenever somebody's giving you their last words, you should listen. Because they're telling you, I mean, if your dad had 5 minutes left in his life with you, those would be some of the most important words that he would say to you. We just went through Paul's last words to the Ephesians, to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. These are some important words when they're the last words. They're the most important things he can think of in this song of Moses that he needs to relay to the people before he leaves this earth. Look at verse number 46. See, you're not a product of your environment. You're not just a victim of whatever has happened to you or hasn't happened to you in your life. That's what the world wants you to think. The Bible says this. Look at verse 46. The Bible says we choose. In verse number 46, the Bible says, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe and do, all the words of this law. Talking about the words of the Lord. The law of God is what he is talking about. For it is not a vain thing for you. Look what he says here. Because it is your life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over the Jordan to possess it. He's saying, look, look, folks, you know what he's saying? He's saying, it's your decisions. It's your decisions. Look, there is no aristocracy in the Christian life. Your life will be a sum of your choices. That's what Moses is saying here. Listen these next couple of days and let the word of God guide you in your life. Today, tonight, tomorrow, always. In these critical years of your life. Look, after Moses died, Moses was not allowed to go across the Jordan into the promised land. After he died, they crossed the river. The priests, they stepped their feet into the Jordan River, and the river parted until the priests, you know, so I assume it was a not so deep part of the river. The priests, they put their feet in the river water stopped, the people passed over, but in Joshua chapter 4, the priests didn't lift their feet out of the river until something Joshua commanded them. God commanded Joshua to command the people to go grab stones out of the midst of the river, out of the middle of the river. So they went and they grabbed these stones, 12 stones, one for each tribe, and they built a memorial. And they built a memorial where the priest's feet were. So they stacked up these stones, and they built this memorial. Then the priest walked out of the river, and then the river flowed again. So there was this memorial. This memorial was so they would look back, and they would see what God had done for them. So they'd be able to look back. Their children, who didn't cross the river, would be able to look back and see what the Lord had done with him. I imagine this monument in the river. And I don't know how big the monument was. I don't know how big the stones were. But you know what I imagine was the most visible part of the monument? It probably wasn't the rocks themselves. It was as the water hit the rocks. And have you ever seen like rapids and formed, you know, a disruption in the river around the monument? I'm sure it was quite a scene. You know, this little monument in the river and these waters hitting, you know, and flowing past this monument. You see, kids, to be selfish with my generation right now, when you choose to listen, teenagers, when you choose to listen to the word of God, when you ignore all the other noise flowing past you, you become our monument. I was talking to some of the kids that I already consider monuments in my life. I was asking some of the kids that I used to know as teenagers in this church, how old are you? How old are you? That's why I was asking everybody this morning. 20, 21 years old. They're out of those teenage years, and now they're a monument that we look back on. And they're a monument as we see they were that monument that had all those things coming at them. They listened to the word of God. They chose, they made their own choices. They chose to listen and hear and follow the word of God. And now they're a monument to us. That's why we did this. It's why we brought you here. That's our monument. You say, oh, I'm just a teenager. You're not just a teenager. You're at a critical point in your life, and you are a testimony. And you know what? You're not just a testimony to me looking down on your age. You're a testimony to those who are younger than you looking up at you. You're a monument in both directions. As you listen and as you choose and make those choices, it's why we sacrificed. It's why we brought you here at all costs. It's critical. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're just a teenager. Have fun this week, but pray this week. Pray this week. Maybe you're like, I'm a teenager and I don't know. I don't know where my life is supposed to go. Pray. God will answer that prayer. pray and listen. Listen to the Lord in your life. He will work in your life because he knows the thousands of people that you will touch and bring into the kingdom of God if you do so. Have fun. Enjoy this conference. But listen to the word of God in your life. I beg you, because you will be a monument for those older than you and those younger than you. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this conference. I thank you for all these young people, Lord. I thank you for these teenagers. Lord, I pray that you would answer the prayers that they send up in the next couple of days, Lord, in their lives. Show them the way. Help them to have the ears to listen. Help them to have soft hearts to understand what you want for them in their lives. And no matter where they came from, no matter what their circumstances are, you can work greatly through them and touch thousands of lives for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.